T-minus 9 to episode 1000. It's Thursday, October 30th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central. This is show number 991, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get a WordPress builder site, domain name, and Outlook email address for just $1 per month for 12 months, or pick up a domain name for just $1.49. All my specials can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, folks, I got a great show lined up for you tonight. Lots to share. And you know what comes next? Strap in. Here we go.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There's no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I'm glad to be here with you folks. Glad that you're also tuned in. Big warm welcome to all of the HANA, all the longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being here. If you're brand new to the show, I want to welcome you to the podcast. Got a great show lined up for you tonight. But before we get into really everything that we're going to chit-chat about, I want to make sure that everyone that is listening has the opportunity to really get subscribed to the show. And that's real easy to do by going over to, I just keep hitting the wrong buttons, geeknewscentral.com, and come over to the website, and you'll find right on the second column of the website, place there to subscribe via iTunes. And additional subscription options. Of course, you can follow me on Facebook, Google Plus. There's a place there to get hooked up with a newsletter as well. We want you to, to do that. We want you to be subscribed to the show, because what that's really going to do is it's going to guarantee that you are going to stay abreast of all the greatest and latest tech content. And of course, we want you to be part of the Ohana here at Geek News Central. Well, I've got, a lot in the hopper here, folks. So I'm kind of excited to share a few things with you guys. But as always, we want you to feel free to email the show at any time. If you want to send any of your commentary or links or anything like that, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter @geeknews as well. That's a great way. And of course, Facebook, again, Google Plus, all those locations are places to connect with the show. I do have to make an apology right up front at the beginning of the show. So I got done with the last show. Everything was going good. Got the audio uploaded, got the video uploaded. I went and did the final posting, hit submit. Everything was good. And I woke up in the morning and my inbox was full from all of you saying, hey, something's wrong. I got the new media show. I didn't get Geek News Central. So the damage was already done. We were already 6 hours in. Many of you had already downloaded the show. I went in and changed it out to the right media. I just clicked the wrong media when I was getting ready to publish. And simple mistake, but many of you did not get to listen to show 990. So I want to encourage you to come back to the website. There's there's always the audio linked on the website. Had that squared away, so that didn't get screwed up. So, again, a huge apologies for last show. I don't think it's been a long time since I did that. But really what the situation was, man, I was like, at the time I published the show, I was done. I had a stick of fork in me. I was, I think I left the studio and, peeled my clothes off and was in bed and asleep in like 30 seconds. It had been one of those days. So, my apologies for show 990 really getting kind of screwed up from a distribution standpoint. And some of the sites like Stitcher and some of the other ones, they don't resync. They don't look at the feed and say, oh, something's changed. The sites that did iTunes updated, but for some of you, again, on automatic download, it already had been, the damage had been done. So again, my apologies on the last episode. So we'll not do that tonight. And, knock on wood here, I won't do that again in the near future. I do want to thank our sponsor here at the show, GoDaddy.com, and they've been with the show for a long, long time, and we've got some great, great deals for you. As always, you can find all of my promo codes at GeekNewsCentral.com /GoDaddy. That's the place to go to find really every code in the book that we've got. And just to bring some of those up, GNC30, save 30% off on all new orders. Geek149, get a .com for $1.49. GNCGOT, get a domain name, website builder, Microsoft Outlook email address for just $1 a month for 12 months. Or we've got these other hosting accounts too. We've got the $1 a month WordPress hosting, either that or economy hosting. We got the 50% off hosting plans. So really, there's a bevy of codes here. And the main thing is when you get over to GoDaddy.com and get to the checkout counter, you'll always want to make sure, number one, that your codes are locked in. Number two, even at the top of the website, it's going to show you if you've clicked on one of my banners or if you've clicked on one of the links on the website, it's going to show you the code that you have. And it's going to talk about the offer limitations. And really, that should lock in through your checkout process. If you get to the checkout counter and it just doesn't look right, again, you can use the actual promo code itself. The bottom of the checkout, bottom left of the GoDaddy checkout page is a place to enter that code. And don't be afraid to fool around with the promo codes a little bit. That way you will get the best possible deal that you can get. And again, we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. And of course, again, find all my deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. I did want to say we're tweaked again a little bit with audio tonight, and I'm looking at the waveform, and I think Paul is going to be happy with what's come out. Still, it's a little tinny for me right now, and I don't know exactly what's going on there, but maybe I tweaked the equalizer just a little bit too much. Also tonight, the stream, everything says we're good live, but I was having some internet was a little slow tonight, so I hope the live video is good. And Dale's saying, I got a long latency in my ISP. Let me know when live is going. Oh, yeah, it's live. So let me type that to him. So maybe it was not only him. Maybe it's him. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, that's what's going on. So let me just talk a little bit about, I kind of had Tuesday, I got to thinking about a couple of things. So I was talking with my mom and looking at the calendar. She's not going to be coming out for Christmas this year. And there's some stuff that I need to do in Michigan to get some of the gear ready for CES. And there was just a variety of things. And I went online, I went on United, and I looked. I've got a whole bunch of, I got 840,000 frequent flyer miles. And even though that I need a few more miles to make status, I'm going to fly in New Year's Eve and make status to, you know, basically get into the category I need to for next year. But I, you know, talked over with my wife and they had some Super Saver airline tickets available. And the wind's blowing in here tonight. So if you guys are hearing that in the microphone, I apologize. But I don't have my little stick to reach over there to pull the window shut. So what I've decided to do, and it's going to affect a couple of episodes here for me. And I've got to figure out how I'm going to get the episodes out or what I'm going to do. But a week from today, I'm going to fly out and go home and go to my, basically where I grew up, and visit my sister and her husband and kids. And of course, my mom. And I'll be there on Friday the 7th, 8th. 9th, 10th, and then I fly back here on 11th. So that's two shows that are going to be affected, and I'll be working on getting a guest host or something to come in to cover for me. A little late in the game here, but really I had this opportunity to do this, and my wife was gracious enough to say, go ahead. And so I'm going to do a quick down and back and spend some time with my mom and my sister and the kids and so forth. My nephew, this is, of all stories, completely crazy. He got hurt on a playground at school recently and broke his wrist. And so he's been in a cast. And this past weekend, he was at a Cub Scouts thing and fell down and broke the other wrist. So this poor kid is in cast, and they think what happened was when he broke the first wrist, that he probably had a hairline fracture in the second wrist, and when he fell down at this other location, it broke it essentially in the same spot as the other one. So this poor kid is in two casts at the same time. I told my mom, I've never heard of anyone breaking both arms at once. So they've had some trials and tribulations there. Anyway, going to go home and see the family, and needed to do this. It's been over a year since I've been home. So I know you guys will be, I've always said your family comes first. And this was an opportunity for me to make the jump and be able to do that, spend some time with them. So we'll do whatever we can do with the show. But I know you guys will forgive me if I miss an episode, but definitely needed to head that way. And if any of you are in that area, we'll probably, I've already sent out some emails to some folks. If you want to come hang out maybe one evening or something, we can do that. Friday night's probably not going to be good. I'm probably going to be jet lagged like a big dog, but Saturday or Sunday night would be cool. I think some relatives are going to come down Saturday, but no matter. If you want to come out, hang out, and you're in the Michigan or Ohio or Indiana area and want to stop in the homestead, you're more than welcome to. And just drop me an email here, geeknews@gmail.com, and I'll get you the details on how to meet up. Okay, so let me go ahead and move on here. This coming Saturday, we're going to have a Rob Walsh from Libsyn on the new media show. And as I said in the beginning of the show today, did a little work on the audio again, and I think we're pretty close to being dialed in. I'll know after it's analyzed. But any feedback on the actual sound of the audio from all of you would be greatly appreciated. If it sounds funny or it sounds like it needs more treble or bass or whatever it needs, please let me know. All right, so let me go ahead here, and we're going to move right into the tech content tonight, because it was really odd because I started out with like 60 articles tonight, and I was like, oh, that is just incredibly too much. And I whacked it down to about half. But one thing I wanted to, I had to laugh. I'd booked these tickets, and then I saw this article on Gawker talking about seats and how the airlines are now putting together a newly designed seats that are thinner, especially in coach. Those of us that fly in coach, we're going to have these nice, thin seats. And when you do this 9-hour haul, and this is what it's for me, 9 hours from Honolulu to Chicago, going into O'Hare, I'll say it politely, your butt is in that seat a lot of hours, and it just absolutely sucks. And the night flights aren't so bad, you can sleep, but there's a good article on Gawker talking about how airlines are pursuing a business strategy of torturing us. So United is not the only airlines that's squeezing. It's many, many other airlines as well. But battles going on now with people reclining and all this stuff that's happening. I do have an exit window, so I get to stretch out. But the seats are a little narrower there because you've got the tray that'll flip out of the chair, which isn't in all. Normally it's in the seat in front of you. I don't have any seats in front of me. So, have you been tortured lately with your airline you've been flying on? I do want to talk just a little bit, too, about some Kickstarters that are coming out. And one has me a little bit raised eyeball here. And you guys know that I'm really at this point getting a little bit, it's not necessarily paranoid, but becoming more careful with the personal data that I share and so forth. But there's a Kickstarter that is basically your car's answer to Fitbit. It's called DriveBot. And wearable devices are cool, but they're also now going to be coming out with lots of devices for vehicles and really just about everything else, whether it be a refrigerator or aircon unit or we're going to have these smart devices that are going to be connected to our networks and essentially calling home to mama. So I saw this DriveBot that's currently in a Indiegogo, and they're trying to raise the right type of money here. But here's the thing that I'm thinking about on this. I love to know what's going on with my vehicle, the performance. I love all that data. I really do. I'm just, you know, I'm a geek. I'm not a car guy, but I like the data stuff, right? So I'm thinking this thing's going to be awesome. But then I get to thinking about it again. All right, what are they going to do? What is this data going to, where's this data going to go? So the email that I sent off this afternoon was, what is your privacy policies? What are you guys going to do with the data that the sensor's collecting? Is it going to go into the cloud, or is it going to stay on my device? Is it going to be something that is going to be tweeted, or are you going to be, you know, storing it? Our vehicles are already becoming essentially like an airline having a black box in it that basically records everything we're doing with the vehicle, with a certain amount of it being able to be downloaded by law enforcement or accessed by, you know, they've got these dongles now that insurance companies are using. You know, there's all kinds of data that can be basically pulled out of a vehicle. How hard you braked, how aggressive you were on turns, acceleration, all the stuff that ultimately, just like our fitness, is building a picture of us. You and I are nothing but this huge data pile. You know, you look at us in our, you know, we're, you know, largely made out of water, but our flesh and blood veins and our major organs, you know, that's, you know, part of who we are and our brains. But there's this whole other stack. And it really, at this point, the stack of data that they're collecting on us, whether we be driving a car, how we're, where we're going, this stuff is, if you're not already concerned, and I don't want to turn the show into a conspiracy theory type thing, but they are collecting an incredible amount of metadata on you and I. And so when I see this type of thing, I think it's cool. This DriveBot's cool from a, you know, from a data standpoint and wanting to be able to access that and see what my car is doing and, you know, look at the, you know, it's going to give you lots of cool stuff. But do I really want to give someone an additional data point on me? What about you guys? Are you not worried about it? I just at this point, I'm, you know, I look at all this stuff now with a filter, right? Trying to figure out, you know, what's going on. And the same thing goes with Apple Pay. We're going to be taking our devices around. We're going to be paying for it. That transaction is going to be recorded. Data is going to go back to Apple. It's already being tracked when we swipe our credit card now with the credit card manufacturers. You know, they can basically tell how much people make just by the amount of charges they make every month. They don't even need to ask your salary because, you know, they can do some math. Okay, and this dude lives in Hawaii. His house payment's this much. This is his electricity. This is his water. This is how much he's spending every month. And within a variance of a few things, they can say, you know, considering he maybe, let's say he's saving X percentage, they're going to know, okay, here's this guy's income envelope. And now let's go ahead and target ads against him. So they've been doing this for a long time, but it's just making it so easy for them. Now, speaking of, you know, Apple Pay, we talked about currency and that group of folks that were basically denying Apple Pay to be used. But Midwest chain grocery store Meijer, and matter of fact, the only time I ever shop in a Meijer is when I'm back at home, is going against the coalition of retailers, and they're accepting Apple Pay as a payment. And they probably will be taking some heat for this and maybe even some penalties. But Meijer has 213 grocery stores in the Midwest, and they're excited to be able to accept Apple Pay. So the coalition is going to crumble. This afternoon, I was in an office, and I noticed something sitting on a desk, and I walked over and looked at it. I said, this is kind of cool. And I wasn't so bold that I went and grabbed it and picked it up. It was, yeah, it was an office I don't go into only a few times, but I, you know, I looked at this device that was on the counter, and it was some sort of a camera. And I asked the folks in the office, what is this? And I said, oh, that's so-and-so's. And, you know, he just brought it in today. So I thought, okay. And tonight when I got home and I started processing the show stuff, I saw this thing from Kodak. And I said, that's the same thing I saw on this guy's desk today. And what it is, it's a Kodak's action cam. Now, either it was a pure, and I don't know how long this thing's been available, but the folks at Engadget normally do a review on stuff before it's even on the street. But this Kodak new action cam offers 360 degree views of your of stunts. And I swear this was the device that was sitting on this guy's desk. And there's a very, very cool video. Now, this has got some unique utility. It's a $349 device. It records at 1080p. But it records a sphere of 360 degrees. And the demo video that they have is a 360 degree skydiving. And I have to admit, you know, some of the video was compelling, but some of it was like, maybe I just use a GoPro. But you guys look at the video and see if this is going to be something that you guys will want to employ. And I could see where this would be cool for videographers and for folks who are doing action stuff, jumping motorcycles, cars. Maybe this would be mounted a little bit on an angle on top of a some sort of a, you know, a sports vehicle doing, you know, whatever the sport may be. But I don't know if this is going to be used on, you know, folks like you and I just ride around with our bikes. But $349, this is a Kodak's action cam. And it was just a pure coincidence. I was, you know, I was kind of like, wow, talk about, that just doesn't happen very often where I see someone have something on their desk and immediately see an article about it. But link will be up in the show notes. It's called the Kodak PixPro SP360. Link is in the show notes. You guys can definitely look it out or check it out. Hey, of course, the big news over at Apple was the announcement of Tim Cook. And basically, Tim announcing that he's proudly gay. And so that spurned, I think, today some articles on a number of websites, one of them being BGR.com. And it was a discussion about working for Tim and some employees basically discussing how it was to work for him. And I kind of laugh because there's some parallels here. One of the guys said he went on to list five key points about working for Tim Cook. Number one, no one knows the details of their business better than Tim, and you'd better know the detail of your part of his business as well. Number two, your life is work. Your work is your life. There's no such thing as work-life balance. There's no time for small talk, only purposely communication in small bite-sized pieces. I'm not necessarily like that, but four, charm is for bracelets. So obviously a very straightforward and strict type of boss. But one thing I thought was cool here was building your career through job changes makes you a job hopper. Read, according to Tim, untrustworthy. Whereas they prefer folks that have been with the company a long time where endurance rules. And another person said, I think on the whole, I prefer Tim to Steve. While both mostly make their decisions on the basis of their intuition, Tim is less caustic about it. He certainly never dressed me down the same way, and I've never been in a meeting with him where he's done this to anyone else on my team. But also, I thought that the interesting part of this was, and this is how I am, on the minus side, he starts way earlier than Steve. You know, I start early. I'm up at 4:30. And when you're working on something critical, he expects that you do too. This employee explained that means that when he sends you an email at 5 a.m. that demands a response, if it's not returned quickly, he lets it be known that he expects more. So, wow. These folks are, this is weird. Someone says it's a, so anyway, that was a comment here. Someone's saying that the video, let me look here, GNC 991. Oh, that the page is live. I'm seeing GNC 991 on the live page. So something may be cached, Dale. But you're on the YouTube page. That's okay. I'm glad you're watching. Okay. So I just, you know, I'm a pretty early person. I can be pretty short, wanting to know stuff to a point as well. So I just thought, and you know, and I think, you know, people have different traits, but I tend to be pretty straightforward. All right, there's, for those of you the gamers out there, and boy, everyone was talking, I got this press release this morning, I was kind of, yeah, and I was like, okay, when next? But apparently people are pretty excited about this new keyboard that was made into a laptop. So the folks at MSI have made a gaming laptop with a mechanical keyboard. So I guess gamers like the clickety-clack of a standard keyboard. And this is one of the reasons why a lot of gamers are still using desktops in a large way. So everyone is raving about this thing today. And but everyone seems to be thrilled that this particular laptop will have these, you know, not the soft touch type buttons, but something like on a Dell keyboard or that would be on a desktop. But if you're a gamer and that interests you and you're looking for a laptop, this may be the one to go to if you're looking for, you know, that keyboard action that so many of you look for. There's been an update to Google Wallet. It's add a reoccurring transfer and balance alert. So basically, and I haven't, to tell you the truth, having a number of Android devices, I bought a handful of apps using Google Wallet. I buy still most of my stuff on the iPhone and on the iPad. But anyway, this new update to Google Wallet is rolling out. Will let you add money to your wallet automatically. So if you get below a certain point, it just refills it. That could get a little dangerous, especially if someone gets your phone. It could just, you know, keep pulling stuff. But you can select the amount of the recurring amount as well as schedule for a transfer, whether it be weekly, biweekly, or monthly. And you can cancel the transfers at any time. You can also set up a low balance alert. When you reach a certain low threshold in your balance, wallet will alert you so you can add money. On the wallet balance screen, tap low balance. The alert is easy to set up. So this will be an update on the website for all of you that are interested. Big news out of the FCC, and I think this is something we're going to have to see what happens here. And I don't know if we covered this in the last show, but the FCC has announced that they're considering allowing over-the-top video providers, OTT video providers, to become FCC and have FCC enforce access to vertically integrated programming. Now, that's a mouthful. But what it really is this is a decision. This is a vote that's going to go down that could shift and give internet video companies the same rights as traditional cable operators. So Tom Wheeler started the process to basically open up for commentary. You know, consumers like you and I have long complained about how our cable bills are just blowing up and how they're forcing us to buy channels that we don't want. So this move of video onto the internet, which I'm 100% for, can really maybe impact some of that frustration in a positive way. So taking advantage of the new rule, new over-the-top television services may offer smaller or specialized packages of video programming so consumers will be able to mix and match to suit their taste. You still have to license the media, but just like a cable provider, you can go out and negotiate a deal to get channels to go into your digital stream. You know, these large companies are going to be resistant to this. AT&T, Comcast, they're not going to want to have competition in the digital space. And Wheeler's likely using mergers as leverage to get support in this push. And so we'll have intensified video competition could really offset some of the consolidation that may be happening with Comcast and Time Warner if this deal is allowed to go through and AT&T and Dish. So really it's opening up the floodgates to allowing lots of companies to compete with the cable providers via the internet. And this is, I think, a fantastic idea. Competition is good for all of us. And this would be a major, you know, a major issue for Comcast going forward. They would have to bring You know, as soon as companies started making deals, and here's the thing, content companies are scared to death of what's happening in the real world. We know that subscribe TV is slowly going down, but as those of you that are younger than me, those of you in your 30s, as you guys start, many of you have cut the cord already or you're going to, and as you guys do, and as like kids my daughter's age, even my 18-year-old and my 23-year-old, as they continue to grow up, they're not going to, you know, they don't watch TV. You know, they watch the internet on their laptops. So this is going to make a big impact. So as stuff moves digitally, be more options, Comcast is going to be essentially become an internet service provider. And maybe, you know, 25 years down the road, because this isn't going to happen quickly, but let's say in 10 years, there could be major competition in this space, which would be good for all of us. And but they just got to get this net neutrality stuff dialed in too, so that we can continue to, you know, be able to get all the internet services and all the streaming TV that we want via our internet connection. So not just HBO, though, in bringing a digital service. Starz wants to launch a streaming service for cord cutters as well. So this is big. And they don't think it's going to cannibalize their existing business. But this is big. HBO, CBS, Starz, who's next? Showtime? You know, the stuff that Showtime offers is strictly limited to being able to prove that you've got their subscription on your cable television service. Now, at the same time, cities are starting to block and take legislation into their own hands, essentially blocking Comcast from taking over their Time Warner cable service. Now, in Kentucky, a city bay called Danville this week took action to prevent the transfer. On Monday, the Danville City Commission voted unanimously to approve the first reading of two ordinances related to the merger. The first would deny the transfer of the city's service, again, city's authorized franchises to these cable providers to bring the service to their city. So basically, what they're doing is the first would deny the transfer of the city service from Time Warner Cable to Comcast. The second would deny the transfer from Comcast to Charter. So the city commission could pass an ordinance as soon as November 10th. Now, under Kentucky law, as in most states, again, cable companies must obtain a franchise agreement from a city in order to operate there. As the Advocate Messenger, that's a newspaper down there, explains, Danville last issued a franchise agreement in 2003. So Time Warner Cable purchased the company they had the license before, called Adelphia, in 2009, but continued to provide service under the terms of their earlier contract. So they're renegotiating with Time Warner Cable at this point. So this is pretty exciting here, that a city has finally set up and stood up and said, I don't want this to happen, and we've got the power to do it. Now, what would be really cool for that town in Kentucky is if Time Warner Cable says, we're not going to re-sign the franchise deal, is if they brought, if the city was able to do their own, basically, deal. And this stuff going on with FCC is going to, at some point, allow entities basically to sign and do deals for programming. Now, scale is definitely going to be an issue for price. Usually when you buy in bulk, you get a cheaper rate like Comcast does. So the smaller companies will have to figure out a way to compete because they're not going to get the content as cheap as maybe Comcast does. But then again, there might be some rules in place with the FCC where they have to stay within maybe a margin of, within a specific margin as to keep the competition, you know, provide for anti-competitive measures, and basically to prevent, basically Comcast, when there is competition in the market, from owning it all. Okay, so let's move on here. Game of Thrones, I'm a big Game of Thrones fan. Game of Thrones stars have apparently signed for their 7th season. So, of course, we know the 6th season's already been ordered. The series has already been ordered through its 6th season. And now Hollywood Reporter says HBO has reworked its Starz contracts to make sure they're all be on board should order a seventh. So very, very cool. And a great series. There's a company that I'm going to be really excited to see at CES. And we're here going to be soon. We're going to be focusing on the big announcements that are going to be coming out of Vegas in January. Matter of fact, my plan is we're well in work here to go to Vegas. And we're changing up our content structure a little bit. But one of the companies that I'm really excited to be able to talk to is Gogoro. It's G-O-G-O-R-O. Gogoro has prepped for CES as it has wrapped up a $100 million funding round. The company is saying it will unveil its first products at CES in January that will transform energy distribution and management in the world's cities. Now, that's a big statement. And so they've got a Series B round that has come in, and this is before they've ever announced a product. But the company's statement included a comment from Panasonic, which is a strategic partner. Yoshiko Yamada, executive vice president of Panasonic, said that the Gogoro is committed to reshaping the way major urban areas utilize energy, and its compelling vision of transformation has great potential for smart cities. So I'm like, what are they going to do? And there's no other detail. So that kind of money, and then a partner like Panasonic, they've got to have something big in the plans. How many of you guys knew that Electronic Arts founder William Hawkins is in trouble with the IRS? To the tune of like $26 million, of which he filed bankruptcy for a number of years ago to protect himself from the IRS. But the IRS has got a major grief with this guy. They're doing everything they can to get him and his wife to pony up some serious cash. And they say they upped to $26 million. Whew. If he doesn't pay, or if, actually, see, they had basically a court went against the IRS. But so what's happened is Internal Revenue Service has asked a federal appeals court to reconsider its September ruling that allowed Electronic Arts founder William Hawkins to avoid paying $26 million California and federal taxes. The IRS said that Hawkins is not qualified to enjoy the tax relief benefits from his 2006 bankruptcy. The taxing agency claims that Hawkins maintained a wealthy lifestyle ahead of his bankruptcy filing instead of satisfying his tax debt. But the court kind of ruled, no, he did. He paid off a bunch of bills and a whole bunch of other stuff. But so anyway, he's in the clear until a court decides they can reconsider. But the IRS is not happy. They are going to do everything they can to get this guy to pay up. All right, a big boom out at Wallops Island on Tuesday. This was, pretty sad here that the Antares rocket exploded just after its launch. It was incredible. I was able to, the video that blew me away the most was there was a range clearance aircraft that was filming the launch, and the from the air video was absolutely incredible. I mean, it was just like it was much more dramatic than what we saw from the ground view. But a lot of people are saying, hey, we all know space is hard, and sadly, this thing blew up on the pad, or actually not on the pad, just, 6 seconds into flight. It might as well be on the pad. But, just an incredible explosion here. But it just goes to show you that as many times as we've been putting satellites and gear into the air, it definitely, things don't, it doesn't change the risk at all. Excuse me. Let's see here. What else? I'm going to check something here real quick. Make sure we're still going good. So the stream looks fine. All right. The Russians launch a Progress supply ship to the space station on the same day. So again, 9 hours after the, spectacular launch failure, it destroyed a U.S. supply ship, a scheduled, Progress cargo craft, basically took off from, Kazakhstan. Carrying 5,793 pounds of rocket fuel, water, air, crew supplies, and other equipment needed aboard the lab complex. And the Progress supply ship docked a number of hours later. So, we got another SpaceX launch coming next month. So definitely lots of supplies on the way up. But anytime we lose a launch, it's definitely not good. All right, how many of you have seen the news on this new, switching off science gear, science news, obviously, is this new Microsoft watch band. Have you guys seen this thing? And $199, works with Android and also Windows Phone. And I wanted to look and see what this thing did. And the biggest reply everyone is saying is it's heavy. And you know it's there. It's not like a watch. It's kind of, you know, wear a watch and you don't even notice it. It's big. It's an object with a strap and like a smartwatch, but every part of the band has got some function. They say it's not terribly uncomfortable, which means it probably is a little uncomfortable. And again, of course, this new band is the Microsoft's first fitness tracker. And again, this is part of Microsoft's plan to try to tap into the health stuff that's going on. But the thing does a lot. And they say the hardware needs a little work, but the software is pretty solid. But, you know, it basically does heartbeat. It does a number of different things, walking distance. So it's definitely one of those type of devices that is going to appeal to the folks that are, you know, doing workouts and going to the gym a lot, running. So, but $199, and we'll keep an eye on this thing. And you guys can go and read the reviews that are linked up here and get the information that it provides. And you guys can make a purchasing decision. But this space continues to really explode. All right, if you're a big Apple fanboy, and I know we've got some of you that listen to this show, there's a cool poster that has been designed. And, this thing is not as iconic as a black lit Led Zeppelin poster, but this poster has been made by Pop Chart Lab, and it's a freshly updated version of its history of Apple's product poster. It shows every Apple product that's ever been made, and the poster is printed on canvas using 15 different inks, costs $80, and it was on sale for $64. It may be off sale by the time you listen to the show. But if you want something for your wall to show the history of all the Apple products, this is the poster to get. And not real good looking on the screen, but if you blow it up, it's pretty slick. And they've done a nice job with this thing. So I'll have the link in the show notes for you to check that out. There is an incredible article, and it's an article linked to articles, but over on Slashdot, they've got the story about the first detailed data analysis shows exactly how Comcast, the Toll Trolls, jammed Netflix. Stephen Levy, News Back Channel publication on Medium, Susan Crawford, another individual on Medium, expertly dissected the Comcast Netflix networking congestion controversy, and she sourced material that was available from measurementlab.net. And this data was also, of course, that measurement report came from Google-backed MLab, and they show exactly what Comcast did to make it painful for Netflix to get their media through. And This is pretty damning, and I don't say that lightly, but Susan Crawford makes a compelling case for FCC intervention, and she called it "How to Fight Telecom Game Playing," and this, if nothing else, well, if you read this this back channel article on Medium.com. I think you're going to have a realization here of what I'm being saying, the there being a tall troll and not playing nice is the evidence just is like, wow. And I spent some time reading both these pieces, and shame, shame, Comcast. Shame on you. And Netflix is rightly, would rightly be upset. I think if I was running Netflix and had been subjected to what has been published here, I don't know if I'd have played as nice as Netflix did. I may have crowdsourced anger from Comcast customers to get something to change. But it's when you guys read it, you'll get my point. Anyway, link will be up in the show notes tonight, of course. The Federal Trade Commission has fined online dating service $616,000 for using virtual Cupids. You know, my mom is older, and she had went on a online dating site and tried it out a little bit. And her basic realization from the site was that most of the fellas that were on there were looking for a nurse and a purse, and not necessarily looking for a companion per se. So this particular company, JDI Dating Limited, a UK company that runs 18 dating sites that claims to have over 12 million members, and here's the sites that included: Cupid's Wand, FlirtCrowd.com, FindMeLove.com, are three of them. Well, again, have to pay $616,000, and it must stop business practices that they were said to violate both the FTC Act and a new law that regulates recurring billing online. JDI's dating sites would take fake profiles, which the company called virtual Cupids, and have them send computer-generated messages to new users who had created profiles but hadn't yet paid. On JDI's websites, the users received an email notifying them that another user sent them a wink within the minutes of joining. Then they got additional winks, messages, and photo requests, supposedly from other members in their geographic area. These were all fake. So they basically were faking people out and saying, oh man, someone's interested in me, playing against their primal instinct, and went on and paid this company, and it was all a bunch of crap. So again, those messages came from bogus virtual Cupid profiles that JDI had on FlirtCrowd and other sites. Now, the only indication the profile was fake was a tiny logos with the letters V and C. The virtual Cupids had photographs and personal info that mimicked real profiles and were made to appear geographically close to consumers using the site. So naughty, 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 naughty. And they got caught, and I just wonder how much money they really scammed off people. Wow. What a way to play. You probably didn't have that many people on, and it's nuts. It really, really is. Over on Huffington Post business section, those of you that have online presences, there's, and I've been using Google Alerts for many years, but it kind of reminded me, I should remind you guys about this, but there's a great way, a great service where you can use Google Alert for brand monitoring and competitive intelligence. Setting up an alert can be done really in just a couple of minutes. You identify your keyword or phrase for monitoring and reporting, and the more specific, the better. So Google gives you a drop-down for selecting how often it happens, region, a variety of different things. And then as things pop up on the web, you basically get a notification. So this is really, really cool. And I like the alerts. When someone's talking about me, talking about the show, writes a link, I'm able to basically go to the website and thank the person, make a comment, reply on Facebook. So it's a really slick service. So anyway, again, Google Alerts for brand monitoring and competitive intelligence, and again, a great Google product. Can you imagine being a French authority and having reported that someone was flying a drone over a French nuclear power plant? Well, the French have a lot of nuclear power plants. The French Interior Minister told French Public Radio that the government has begun investigation into who has been flying drones above as many as 10 nuclear power plants nationwide this month. They say there's a judicial investigation underway, French Interior Minister Bernard Cavani said in an interview on France Info Radio. Measures are being taken to know what these drones are and to neutralize them. Now, of course, as I said, France has 58 reactors. I actually said they had a lot, but in the article here, they say they have 58 reactors across 19 locations. And as we, as many of you know, it's the most, they are the most reliant on nuclear power of any nation in the world. So, wow. France has got some issues. And if people are flying stuff over nuclear power plants and taking videos, that is discerning, to say the least. All right, let me talk just a little bit about this. This is one for the moms. I've been fortunate, and all of the children that I have, we didn't have any children end up in a NICU. We did have, Anna ended up with a little bit of jaundice, and she just had to stay a couple extra days in the hospital with mom and me. But so many moms today have babies that maybe have some respiratory trouble, maybe are a preemie. Anna was born a month early, but she was able to go home pretty much on time after the little jaundice incident. But there's a new invention that lets newborns in incubators feel mom's heartbeat. So this is a prototype, but Intel's Make It Wearable finalist Team Baby created a wearable that lets preemies or other babies in incubators feel their parents' heartbeat while separated. And this is kind of interesting here. It's a prototype mattress that helps bring back some of the closest. The mattress is built to feel just like real human skin, and a teddy bear-sized sensors worn on the patient's chest detect his or her heartbeat and breathing patterns. So this is really cool, and it basically provides data back. The baby can get, it feels like she's, or he or she is with mom. So kind of an interesting development here. A baby could help get premature babies out of the incubator faster than the standard model, its creators claim. And even just one day or 1 hour of incubator free time could make a world difference in a family's life. The best part of our NICU stay, according to this gentleman, was when we could finally hold our son after he transitioned out of the incubator and into a standard bassinet. So they're going to do some clinical trials, and they want to see baby in every hospital and every NICU around the world. And the device pans out, they could be on their way to achieving that lofty goal. So this is kind of a cool product. This is something that, those babies are separated from mom. And we all know how new babies are. They go everywhere with us. They're very rarely on their own. Anyway, pretty cool. Hey, Google's been ordered to pay a woman $2,250 for a Street View image that showed her cleavage. Well, apparently, as the Google car was driving by this lady's house, she was bent over and exposing significant amount of cleavage. And they blurred out her face, but didn't blur out neck and below, and it was pretty close up and pretty revealing. So this judge has said, Google, you have to pay for violating her privacy. So this is let me go ahead and I'll tell me when the Google car is going to be by, and get the whole family out there, and we'll entertain them. There's a cool article over on the BBC talking about folks that are using metal detectors. And have any of you ever lost a ring or a necklace or something? I lost a necklace one time on a beach, and botchain, gold botchain. Those things are from Thailand. They're expensive. But some guy with a metal detector, you know, scored large when he came through later. But there's a group now that is finding rings and finding jewelry, and they're putting them up on websites. And basically, as long as people can prove and have, you know, some be able to describe what it is exactly, they're able to recover. And this group has been able to recover like $36 million worth of jewelry for people over a number of years here. And they've got some deals going on that how they work it for a finder's fee and all that kind of stuff. But very cool stuff. If I had time to go walking around, a lot of people in Hawaii are using metal detectors. But if you ever lost a ring or something, or maybe someone got mad and threw one, which happens sometimes, to go out there and find a yard is near impossible, but the metal detector works real well. But a link will be up in the show notes. And if any of you are metal detector users, you guys will get a kick out of this. Hey, Android creator Andy Rubin is leaving Google. The co-founder of the Android is focusing on hardware startups. So this is big. According to Wall Street Journal, Rubin's departure to create an incubator for hardware startups, his role heading up the company's robotics, will be taken up by James Kuffner, a research scientist at the company and a professor at Carnegie Mellon. In a statement, Google's Larry Page thanked Rubin for his work. He said, "I want to wish Andy all the best with what's next. With Android, he created something truly remarkable with 1 billion+ happy users. Thank you." So I'm sure he's leaving with a lot of cash and going to be working in the startup space. So not surprising. So we'll see what comes for the future with him. I mean, where we're at on time here. Hey, if you've got, if you're using Yosemite and you're seeing some bugs, well, the folks over at fieldguide.gizmodo.com have some ways to overcome some of those bugs that are in the current version of Yosemite. Have that up. Brazil is keeping its promise to avoid the U.S. internet. They're laying all kinds of cable down. They're investing $185 million on the first cable project alone. And they're using a non-American company. And they're trying to dissect themselves as much as possible from allowing their traffic within their country to go through any U.S. controlled fiber or internet lines. Whew. Money walks, bullshit. Yeah, money talks, bullshit, you know what. So anyway, very cool. Hey, NASA's high-altitude glider can fire rockets into space from air. I didn't even know this was something that they were doing. I was like, what? Where did this project come from? I thought it was, you know, some of that from the composite group. But anyway, this basically what it does is they tow this glider to 40,000 feet. Then they cut it loose. And when they cut it loose, this thing has got a rocket on it. And the rocket takes the glider from its current altitude to basically space altitudes, and then cut loose the payload. So that's pretty crazy. Now, the payload is the actual, is attached to the rocket. So again, so as it gets to where it needs to be, it lets it go and it continues on to orbit. So, wow, interesting stuff going on here with NASA and trying to lower the cost of getting stuff into space. Obviously not big payloads, but small satellites and so forth. All right, article over on the Register. Let's see here. Biggest threat to Europe's cybersecurity is not hackers, but power. The folks in the European Union are worried about power and having enough power. I lived on Guam when we had daily 4-hour rolling blackouts. It sucked. I mean, it sucked so bad. You have no idea how bad it sucked. Every day, 4 hours without no juice. I don't want to wish that on my worst enemy, but that's what they're worried about. 29 European countries are at risk of not being in a state of the power curve. So a link will be up in the show notes on that. Sony has acknowledged the PlayStation 4 Software 2.0 issue. So I guess there were some problems here. And, you know, some consoles are permanently in a rest mode. And they're investigating the matter. which is not good. So anyway, if you've got a PS4 that's got problems, Sony is working the issue. If you're an Instagram user, you're going to be seeing more video ads. They're going to be increasing and cranking it up quite a little bit. So be aware of that. Data for your watch could cost as much as data for your tablet. The Galaxy Gear S, another Samsung wearable among many, will be available in the United States on November 7th. Unlike its other Gear siblings, the S can have its own data connection. Unfortunately, it looks like carriers will make you pay for this thing and potentially any other data-enabled smartwatch as if it were a data-enabled tablet. It's just ridiculous. You're going to have to pay the extra $10 so you can, you know, have your data plan be connected to it. They're going to kill us. Maybe we just don't buy smartwatches. Are you using Drupal? If you have Drupal 7 and you haven't updated it, you may be hacked. Content management system Drupal has issued chilling public service amounts to website admins and internet users who might visit the hundreds of thousands of sites running its software. According to the company, automated attacks started to hit websites running Drupal version 7 within a matter of hours of it disclosing a highly critical SQL injection vulnerability on October 15th. So if you haven't patched your Drupal install and you're in Drupal version 7, you're probably your own. So they've got some extensive instructions to do to either unhack yourself or, if you're lucky enough not have already been to hack, what to do to get it, get the situation under control. The brain decoder. Think about this for a second. A bunch of scientists have been able to determine through a spectrogram words, and they basically had in a certain setting, people would read certain words, and they did a registry. Then in another setting, they did had the person think the same words and basically were able to reconstruct what the, you know, match it up using this special spectrometry that they were doing. It's not perfect, but give them 10 years and they're just going to be able to know everything we're thinking no matter what. At the same time, science in the medicine world is exploding. There, you know, if you get brain cancer, it's not good. You know, you're going to have some major challenges, and it's often brain cancers are notorious in killing people very quickly. So neurosurgeons are coming up with some new stuff, and basically what they've got is they've got these capsules that's going to offer direct release of chemo into the brain. And basically they put it in your brain, cut a hole in you, drop this in, put it close to the area that, is affected, and feels a much safer, much more direct method than, you know, injecting you with chemo at the normal entry point and hoping some of the, you know, the chemotherapy medicine makes it into your blood vessels, into your brain, and kills whatever's up there. So they've been doing this on mice and they have great success. So at some point, this is going to go into trials with humans down the road, and they're getting better, folks. They really, really are. Hey, About Me is launching an app that aims to replace the business card. So Tony Conrad, the founder of About.me, says it's just about time to disrupt the business card. You don't always have to have a business card with you, but you always have your phone. This takes what we have with an About Me and makes a digital business card for mobile. It gathers information you have on your personal About Me page, such as your picture, contact info, puts it in front and center of the app. You can even share that app with others, but I guess you have to be using the AppMe app. Let's see here. Let me look at this. I still like a business card. Doesn't say how the transfer happens, but it'll probably be one of those tap type things or send to or something like that. While cool, we often just don't have time to just sit there and point phones at each other and do that. Hand the business card and move. Also, if you're a Flipboard user, there's a new update and it's brought a lot of new design changes and a lot more features. So that's available if you haven't updated already. And of course, we already talked about Meyer taking Apple Pay. And also talked about Tim Cook on coming out. And there's a good article about the good iPad 2 review. I've been actually looking for one that for what I would consider to be pretty just not a puff piece, and talks about the plus and minuses of the new iPad Air and what they like about it, what they hate about it. The main thing is you can hold it with one hand in bed. And I thought, oh, that's interesting, because I'm always two-handing my iPad in bed now. Moving on here, Verizon is set to pay $64 million for overbilling customers. This is not surprising. So this is another settlement that they've had to make, and will be sending, I guess, well, customers getting that money back. The settlement would put aside claims that the company overcharged some of its U.S. customers between 2002 and 2006. The class action suit had accused the company of overcharging users of its family share plan by improperly calculating overage charges on the shared minutes plan. So if you're involved in that class action lawsuit, you might be getting 10 cents. Good article over on Uber Gizmo talking about the Easy Guitar System. It uses LED lights to teach. And I thought this was interesting because it talks about people that don't have a lot of talent when it comes to doing music. And it actually even talks about a deaf person that was learning to play. And it basically, the neck of the guitar lights up and it shows you where to put your fingers. And it's basically like, it gives you the information right there that you need to know where to put your fingers and do your business. So cool. Is it available right now? Let me look at this. Yeah. So anyway, if you've been looking to learn to play the guitar, this might be the way to do it. All right, last couple articles here. Ask Mark Zuckerberg anything during his first community Q&A on Facebook on November 6th. So if you wanted to get some questions, try to get some questions answered by Zuck, good luck on that. But he's going to be doing a Q&A on Facebook here on November 6th. It's the first one. Danish court has found that Pirate Bay co-founder is guilty of hacking servers. Gottfred Sarotam Warg, co-founder of Pirate Bay, is found guilty of hacking charges by a court in Denmark, which ruled that he and a 21-year-old accomplice had hacked U.S. company CSC to gain access to Danish government servers. No idea what the services, what the sentence is going to be, but if I remember correctly, he's been in jail a while already, so maybe he'll get time served. Who knows? Hey, Apple's had a change of heart about calculator widgets. They were going to make them remove them. But Apple's decided to give a stay here. And so many of these widgets are not going to get pulled off the iTunes store, Apple store. I'm getting punchy here, so let me get this out of here. You can download $115 worth of awesome paid Android apps for free right now. Link will be up in the show notes. I don't know how long this offer is available for, but I'll have that up for you. Last article in the show notes tonight if you're looking to get some free apps. Looks like some games and some utilities and that kind of stuff. All right, let's go ahead and get into email here. I do have a number of emails that came in. I didn't save everything from every one of you that said, hey, what did you do? How come I got the new media show instead of Geek News Central? But I will go through a couple of these. And GNC comments, let's click on that. And I did think I got a few links too. Got an email from Paul. He says, hey Todd, the most important thing we make at Soldering Sunday, and I'm not familiar with this, it's solderingsunday.com, is more makers. We believe that tinkering, making are part of who we are as humans, and that makers can change the world. We are passionate about helping people learn the skills they need to create the things that they're passionate about. This is why we've created Chip, an electronic kit with a character. Chip is fun, affordable electronic kit that is designed with the beginner in mind. Attach him to a Pixel power base and his big flirty LEDs, LED eyes draw you in. Plug Chip into an Arduino and he becomes a friend you can program. Help us bring Chip to life and make more makers. We're launching our Kickstarter in a few days and have a preview on Prefundia. We invite you to check out our preview work and ask you to help us spread the word. So it sounds pretty cool. I'm always into like these little electronic projects and stuff. So Paul, thanks for sending that over. Also got an email from Dale. He says, hey, Todd, Google's developing a disease detection pill. Google research group Google X is developing a pill containing magnetic nanoparticles that detect diseases and a wearable device to read the nanoparticles findings. This is a cool one. Thanks for that, Dale. I'll definitely have that link up in the listener links. Got an email for you from Jack saying, hey, Todd, Amelia Earhart plane fragment identified, maybe. So Wendy, this is over on discovery.com. I have the link up in the show notes. Thanks for that, Jack. Yeah, that was a cool one. I saw that one as well a couple of days ago, but thanks for bringing it to my attention. We'll get it up on here. I want to thank Mike for not blasting me too bad on putting the wrong show up. Sam, one of our longtime Ohana, Dale, a variety of folks had emailed me. Henry, again, I had a lot of emails on my screw up. Did get an email, another email from Dale talking about the Amelia Earhart plane fragment. So two of you were thought that was good. Henry said, hey, Todd, it seems the new media show was in the iTunes feed for GNC Show 990. You were talking about everyone having an agenda. I know people that don't. Adam Curry and John C. DeVore, they have an agenda. Don't let them fool you, Henry. Not at all. I got another email from Dale saying Nuclear Regulatory Commission resumes license renewals for nuclear power plants. So well, that's pretty cool. This is following a two-year hiatus here. The U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission has resumed issuing license renewals for nuclear power plants. On October 20th, the NRC renewed the operating license for Limerick Generating Stations Unit 1 and 2 located northwest of Philly, extending their license expirations by 20 years to 2044 and 2049. With this action, the NRC has granted license renewals, providing a 20-year extension to a total of 74 of 100 operating reactors in the United States. Nuclear power accounts for 20% of the total power sector electric generation in 2013. So thanks for that, Dale. And let's see who else sent me an email here. BK did. Thank you for that. What else? I think that's it for tonight. Let me look, see what the last show was. Yep, that's it. And again, apologies on the last show. And I didn't bring you value for value on the last show. I know that. I hope I did tonight. And if I did, I hope that you consider becoming a Geek News Central Insider, part of our GNC 1000 at geeknewscentral.com/insider with a $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month donation. We had a couple of one-time donations come in. Again, on the following show, I'll go through all those folks. But we do appreciate all the donations and all the monthly donations as well that come in from all of you at geeknewscentral.com/insider. We also want to thank all of you for supporting our sponsor. We want to thank GoDaddy for again being a sponsor here for this show in October. This is our last show as we move into November. Where is this year going? But again, definitely all my promo codes for GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. If you've got comments on today's show, which I hope you do, geeknews@gmail.com is the email address, or you can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. It's been my absolute pleasure to bring the show to you this evening. Have a great weekend. We'll be back with you here on Monday for another episode of the Geek News Central podcast. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.